Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
We're preaching through Colossians on a verse-by-verse basis, and tonight I'll not be lengthy in the message because we want to focus in just a few moments on the Lord's table. But what a great passage to bring us into the Lord's table. And I think you'll see what I mean by that. I've entitled the message tonight, The Magnificence of Christ. The Magnificence of Christ. And I want you to see in Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight that you are a God who is not only prominent, you are preeminent. And we thank you, Father, that you have all power, and that you are a God of all knowledge and wisdom, and that you have manifested yourself in the form of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who we worship and adore tonight. May we see tonight your magnificence, your power over creation, over our lives, even at this very moment. Help us to adore and exalt you this evening, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In verse number 18 of Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says that in all things he might have the preeminence. That in all things he, Jesus, might have the preeminence. Preeminence means first place. There are many churches tonight who talk about Jesus, who have songs about Jesus. They have crosses in their buildings. But Jesus is not preeminent. He is merely prominent. He has a place. His name is mentioned, but he is not in the first place. The fact of the matter is that he's just kind of a piece of the vocabulary, a part of the program, but everything is not revolving around him as it should. But the Bible teaches us concerning Jesus that he should be preeminent in all things. In fact, he is preeminent over the church and over creation. Tonight, I'd like to take a few moments to speak about our magnificent, preeminent Savior. In a moment, when you take the juice, and in a moment, when you partake of the wafer, I want you to do that with trembling hand and worshipful lip. I want you tonight to approach these moments with a concept in your mind that he is Lord of all and that he is a magnificent and wonderful Savior. I want you to think, first of all, tonight about his person in deity. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ in relationship to his deity. The Bible says in verse number 15, who is the image of the invisible God? Notice the word who, this phrase referring back to verse number 13, which speaks of the Son of God. And so when we read of this one who the Bible describes as the image of the invisible God, we read about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Time magazine reported some years ago finding a letter from Joseph Smith to a man by the name of Martin Harris. Joseph Smith was the founder of the Church of Jesus Christ, so-called, of Latter-day Saints. Joseph Smith, in the letter to Martin Harris, said, and I quote, "I was out digging for money when an old spirit led me to chanting." By the way, how many of you thank God tonight that your religion is not based on the experience of a money-digging, spirit-chanting kind of a man? Nevertheless, he was out digging for money when an old spirit led me to chanting. Then a white salamander bit me 3 times. Later, the salamander, according to Joseph Smith, is reported to have been Angel Moroni, who also revealed to him that back in time, Jesus and Satan were brothers. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. That type of heresy needs to be preached against and stood against, and we need to thank God that Jesus Christ was never, as some say, a man who became a god or kin to Satan and then became God, but that Jesus Christ has always been the very Son of God. And according to the scriptures in verse number 15, he is the image of the invisible God. How we thank God for this truth tonight. Notice the manifestation of the invisible God. It says in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. The word is speaks of a state of being. It is in the present tense. It reminds us tonight that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, the image of the invisible God. And I want you to understand this word image. It speaks of the figure or the likeness or the image of things heavenly. You see, unlike man, Jesus Christ is the perfect, absolutely accurate image of God. He did not become the image of God at the incarnation, but has been that from all of eternity. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 states, the image of God's glory. He is the image, the expressed image of the glory of God. And the Bible says in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. The word here, of course, meaning the unseen God. And so God manifested himself, and the word became flesh. The eternal pre-existent word became flesh, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of God. John 1 and verse 18 says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So the clear implication of Jesus saying then that he is the way and the truth and the life tells us, first of all, that truth is absolute, and secondly, that truth is knowable, and Jesus Christ is the absolute revelation of God, and you can absolutely know God when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Colossians 2 and verse 9 says it this way, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You understand tonight that many billions of people, the Muslims tonight, you understand tonight that they would completely deny and completely refute that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. However, the scriptures are clear, for in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Quran denies that God ever had any son, but the scriptures declare tonight that he did have a son, and that he's the virgin-born son, and that he is the Son of God, equal in his attributes to God the Father. I'm telling you tonight that Jesus is the manifestation of the invisible God. But I want you to see, secondly, the majesty of the incarnate Son. The majesty of the incarnate Son. As we consider the person of this, of his deity, I want you to look again at verse 15. And it tells us of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. And notice now, the firstborn of every creature. The firstborn of every creature. Here in the term firstborn, we see the majesty or the position of the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstborn means not only birth order, but it speaks primarily in this context of a place of prominence. It does not and is not always used in relation to chronological order. Some of the cults have tried to take this phrase, firstborn, and they have tried to say and to justify their teachings and say that Jesus Christ then is something lesser than God the Father because he is begotten in the sense that he came to this world and was physically born of the Virgin Mary. But I want you to know tonight that the word firstborn is not a denigrated type of a situation. It is not speaking of a lesser rank. In fact, just the opposite. It speaks of his place of prominence in all of creation. It speaks of Jesus being high and lifted up. G. Campbell Morgan said he was the God-man, not God-indwelling man. Of such there have been many. Not a man deified. Of such there have been none, save in the myths of pagan systems of thought. But God and man. combining in one personality the two natures, a perpetual enigma and mystery, baffling the possibility of explanation. 1 John 3 and verse 2 says of his deity, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and yet it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And thank God for that. Thank God today for the fact that Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God, and that we will see him and that we will be like him in that glorified state one day. But Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the invisible God, and we see his majesty amongst the creation in this phrase that he is the firstborn of every creature. He is the prominent one of all of creation, worthy of our worship tonight. And in this day and age, when men and women are worshiping the creation, and they're worshiping the rocks, and they're worshiping the whales, and they're worshiping all of the things around us, we are here tonight to worship the Creator God, the prominent Son of God. He is deity, and we are to worship him. And so we see his person in deity. But as we consider Jesus tonight, as we consider his magnificence, we see his magnificence not only in his deity, but I want you to secondly notice his power to create. We see his person in deity, but I want you to see his power to create. Notice what the Bible says in verse 16. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." I want you then to know about Jesus Christ that he is the creator of all substance. He's the creator of all substance. The word created speaks of his proprietorship, of the fact he's the manufacturer, he's the originator of this substance. And Jesus Christ, if creator then, cannot be the creation. He is the maker of the creation. He is creator God. John 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." You say, "You mean, Pastor Chappell, you believe in the literal account of creation? You believe that God spoke and brought the earth into existence?" That is exactly what I believe tonight. I believe that evolution is a lie of the devil. I ain't no kin to the monkey. The monkey's no kin to me. I don't know much about your ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. I'm telling you tonight, I believe that God is the creator of the universe. And he has power to create. You study the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You've studied it. The word Elohim speaks of the three persons of the Godhead. And I'm telling you tonight that when Jesus Christ spoke, the worlds came into existence. He is creator God. And before God created, there was no time in eternity past. There was no mark of time. But time began when God created. And in the beginning, God created. In the beginning was the Word, the pre-existent Son of God. And all visible substances that we see today were created by God. Psalm 19 and verse 1 says it this way, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." In other words, my friend, the creation all around us testifies to the glory of God. This past Friday evening, sitting with several hundred men up on a hill, and as we sang songs to the glory of God, and as we looked around us as the sun was setting over the Sierra Nevada mountains, and as the sun was setting down over those giant sequoia trees, you could not help but look around at creation and say, "Thank God for his power in creating this place. Thank God for his majesty, which is seen all around us at this moment." I'm telling you tonight, Jesus is wonderful and powerful, and he is the creator of all substance. But I want you to see, secondly, he's the creator of all spirits. All of us who live and breathe have a spirit tonight. God breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul. And the Bible tells us that God is the creator of these spirits. Verse 16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. The Bible speaks here of thrones, speaking of the rulers who sit on those thrones. It speaks of dominion, speaking of rank and possession of authority, perhaps in the spirit world realm. God says, I created all of them. You say, but a great host of angels fell and followed Lucifer, but God created them, and God created all beings. He is the creator of all things. The word principalities in verse 16 speaks of the fact that God has rule power over the angels and the demons. And it says there also the word powers, the Greek word eskousia, which speaks of the fact that God has all power over every rank of spirit world, over every part of His creation. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And He said these words, lo, I am with you always. But before He gave that promise, He said this, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. I want you to understand something tonight. The devil has a little power. He's having a little fun in Hollywood. He's helping people to pierce their bodies and mark their bodies and take some drugs and take some PCP. He's destroying homes. He's doing what he can. But I want to tell you something tonight. Jesus has all power. He has power over all the spirit world. He has power over all the devils and their demons. I'm telling you tonight, he's magnificent and he's wonder. And I'm telling you tonight, the devil flees at the name of Jesus Christ and at the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. His name is wonderful and magnificent, and He has power to create and power over all of His creation. Jesus, our magnificent Savior. Oh, how we praise Him tonight for His wonderful, wonderful power. But I want you to notice finally tonight, not only His person in deity, He is the Son of God. He is the image of the invisible God. Not only His power to create, in the beginning, God created. But I want you to see finally tonight His providence over creation. He has providence over all of His creation. He pro video, He sees before and understands what's happening and ordains what is happening. Notice in verse 17, please. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, His position over all things. And I want you to see it in this word, before. And this preposition speaks of His position in order, as well as His position over and in authority. He is before. He is the leader. He is the authority and has prominence over all things. Revelation 3:14 says it this way, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. There we see it again, the word beginning. In this verse, number 17, we see the word before. He is before all things. And in Revelation 3:14, He is the beginning of all things. He is the one then who brought life into being. He is the one who sustains the life that you have tonight. We read in the Old Testament where some prayed that God would grant an extension to that life. It is God who has providence and power over the beginning of life and the ending of life. He is providential in His supervision over His creation, and His position is over all of us, and He is Lord of all. And one day, every knee under heaven and earth will bow and will confess that He is Lord of all. Aren't you glad tonight that we can pause and pull apart just for a moment and remember Him and thank Him? The rest of the world rushes on, and tonight they're watching television and sports, and some are watching perhaps perverse things, and some are involved in frivolous things, and the world kind of rushes on. But tonight we have a moment here to take time with Jesus and to remember Him and worship Him for who He is, the one with a position over all things. But I want you to see finally tonight, before we partake of the Lord's table, His power to keep all things. His power to keep all things. And notice it in the language of verse 17. And He is before all things, speaking of His position and His creative power. But notice, and by Him all things consist. So let's read verse 17 together, shall we? Ready to begin. And He is before all things, and Now, some of you have studied that word before, haven't you? The word consist. It means to place together, to set in the same place. It means to compose. God has brought all these things together, but He keeps them together. By Him, all things consist. Now, think of it. The Scriptures tell us in 2 Peter 3 and verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Scientists tell us that they sometimes cannot explain why the atoms of this earth, why the matter of this earth does not become even more explosive, and why there are not more cataclysmic events than there even are. They cannot explain why at times the planets rotate so beautifully and with such harmony. And I believe tonight there is simply one answer to that pondering of a scientist, and that answer is in this verse. It is by Him, Jesus, that all things consist. He's holding this world together. The Scriptures do say there is coming a day when He's going to let it all go loose. And the Scriptures say in 2 Peter 3 and verse 12, the heavens being on fire will be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Then there will come the new heavens and the new earth, and we will spend all of eternity with God in heaven. And we thank God for that wonderful promise. But until that time when this world is destroyed, by the way, I hate to pop the bubble of the Jehovah's Witnesses, but this planet is not heaven. This planet one day will resemble something far, far different than heaven. It's going to be dissolved with fervent heat. This planet is not heaven. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we look forward to that. But I'm saying that the reason this planet is held together is because it is by Him that it all is held together. It all consists because of the power of Jesus Christ. And oh, listen tonight. If Christ can hold every atom together, every atom in this universe, if Christ can cause our solar system to rotate with such beauty and with such harmony, if Christ can hold this world together, don't you think He could hold your marriage together tonight? Don't you believe He could hold your mind together tonight? Don't you think He could unify a church tonight? If Christ, who is before all things, and if it's by Him that all things consist, then when you feel things are going out of your control and you just don't think you can go on another day, aren't you glad to know that the One who has the whole world in His hands can take care of you as well? Some time ago, maybe a year and a half ago or so, my heart was filled with anxiety and so much concern about the affairs of various different things. And I remember a dear friend saying to me, "Brother Chapel, you go ahead and go to sleep tonight and get some rest. And just know that God will take good care of His universe tonight." How many of you are glad we have a God who can take good care of His universe? And I thank God that I serve the Creator, Sustainer, the One that is before all things, and the One that holds all things together. Whether it's your trembling heart, or whether it's your troubled marriage, He's a wonderful Savior. And He can hold it all together if you'll turn to Him tonight. In a few moments, we'll partake of this Lord's table. But before we do, let us remember, He's a wonderful Savior, a magnificent Creator, a fantastic Sustainer. He's worthy of our worship. He and He alone is worthy of our worship tonight. The other day at the Men and Boys camp out, much to my surprise and delight, I heard that my grandson Camden was at the camp out. I got into the camp out, talked to several men, and had some good fellowship. And then I said, "Where's Camden at? I just wanted to see him." By the way, no mother wants to see their 3-year-old boy at the Men and Boys camp out. It's a dangerous situation. Someone said, "He's over there." Boy, here he came. "Papa, Papa." He had several layers of dirt like a good Baptist boy. He had a pine cone in one hand, an Oreo cookie in one hand, and an Oreo cookie in his mouth. He was so excited to tell me something, I couldn't hear what he was trying to say. Finally, he got enough cookie out of his mouth I could understand. Papa, I shoot gun, I shoot gun. I shoot squirrel, I shoot animals, I shoot pine cones, I shoot rocks. By the way, you might as well teach him to shoot at an early age. Amen. He was telling me all about all the action of the men and boys camp out. And I watched him as he was with the men and as he was under the influence of the preaching of the Word of God. And for some reason, my mind went back, it seems like, to last year's camp out when I took Matthew up when he was 3. And it just dawned on me how quickly time goes. I'm so glad I took my son year after year after year to that camp out. I'm so glad he was able to look up in the trees and the mountains and hear the billowing voice of men like Wally Davis preach the Word of God. But I am so glad tonight that my little grandson has the opportunity to hear and see of the magnificence of Christ just like his parents and grandparents. And I'm thankful tonight that the majesty of Jesus never grows dim. It never fades away. He's a wonderful Savior. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Don't ever let the love for Jesus in your heart grow dim. Perhaps that's why the Lord said, "This do in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord, for being a wonderful Savior. From generation to generation, you are wonderful God. From generation to generation, you are not only prominent, you are preeminent. And so we praise you tonight because of your deity, because of your creative power, because of your sustaining power. I pray for those tonight who feel like their world may be falling apart, for those filled with hurt, anxiety, difficulty. I pray that you would settle their hearts tonight and let them know that if you can hold this world together, you can hold their life together too.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.